Welcome and good morning to Stutzmanville Chapel. What a great morning. First and foremost, wonderful song selections. It's been a long time since we've come together to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. Just as if you picked those to coincide with today's sermon. Once again, praise God. A couple quick things. We're going to forego the shake of hand inside. However, outside after today's service with some fresh air and some space, it might be very fitting to kind of catch up and go from there. So we'll forego that. And it's been a couple months since we've gotten together, but we've stayed together for a couple months, and I want to thank some people. Karen and Glenn, and Karen, your emails going out sometimes more than once a day. And Glenn helping out with daily scriptures. I don't know about you, but once that stay-home mandate occurred, that first week it was a little lonely. And all of a sudden, we start getting these scriptures. Let's pray together with one voice, the same prayer. Wow. Wow. The church, there's the physical church, but there is the church. And the church lives within each and every one of us. And it was really a wonderful experience to be connected. I also want to thank Chip. He's been in quite a bit answering the phone and taking care of business inside the church safely. And I also want to thank Dennis and Glenn and Ed Warner, Jeffrey Schlauber, and we've had a guest speaker, Brian Berthaud, who I'd like to talk about at the very end today as well. Max was here. You know, I should write these down because I wanted to, yeah. And Max, all coming up with great messages, reaching out where the Word of God continues on through these times. And technology's not all that bad. Although I had a couple times some difficulty posting my own sermons. Worked just fine on my computer, but that was good. Hey, for 2 months, it seemed like the world stopped, but some things continued. And today you don't see Ed and Mary here. One of the reasons, 51 years together. Anniversary this weekend. And world stopped, but the power of love continued on. Jeffrey Schlauber and my neighbor, Grace Bailey, continued on with their wedding plans. They got married. Some of you kind of drove out to Cross Village to be part of that car parade to just let them know we love them and we wanted to be part of their special day as well. And that was wonderful. And Chip, you've got your hand up.
Becky's been here several days doing yard work.
The flowers.
And then the mowing and just on through. The list goes on and on. But just thanks to anybody that continued on through the process.
Yeah, and Gary Morse contacted me several times. Hey, Tom. We got to get this church opened up here. Well, Gary knows everyone. And it's been great. We tried, obviously, for a form of church, Easter parking lot church, and even got Mother's Day, thought we had it. But, you know, we reached out to the powers that be, got timely responses, and this time we got a green light there. So Gary, thanks for your work, and a community man, and that helps out in all different types of situations. So I'd like to take him. Oh, Gary?
I just want to shout out a thank you to our prosecutor, Jim Linderman, and the sheriff, Pete Wallen. There were my guiding lights.
Yes.
For my yes or no.
It's just been a blessing how we ended up here today. And let's take a minute here. Lift up today to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you once again that we are able to come together as a body of believers and worship you. And these are definitely challenging and difficult times, but this is nothing new in the course of history. There's been difficult and challenging times. Lord, let the Holy Spirit come right on down into this building. We ask for your presence, protection, and let today's message just ring true. And wherever we are on the spectrum, help us just to shine your glory through our interactions, our behaviors, our conversations, and let's take this situation and turn it into an opportunity just to shine your love, your strength, your grace. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right. Let's get some glasses on, and I'll tell you what, it's pretty exciting having an opportunity to give a message with people around. It really is. Who are you talking to? All right. Well, I always try to come up with some sort of title or guiding question here, so I'll just today I've had something on my heart for about 2 months, and let's just hit this head on. The new normal. And I really hope today this message ruffles some feathers. I do. Because right now, there's a world full of fear, confusion, anxiety, doubt. That does not come from our Lord Jesus Christ at all. I'm going to ruffle some feathers, and I hope you ruffle some with me today. Satan's been having a heyday with the world. Let's do something about that. You know, let's think back to February. The old way. You know, we're all in different seasons of life. But I think a lot of you can kind of relate to something like this synopsis of the old way. And I really took today's message, and it's been on my heart, my shoulders, and it's been in front of my face for some time. You know, every day was a marathon, a tireless marathon. Here we are balancing work, responsibilities. There's been a shift in let's get more productive activity out of everybody. Take your work home. And we did. Then you've got the kids' schedules, extracurricular activities, challenges of parenting, goes along with marriage. And then, of course, carving out room for God. Back in February and beforehand, that's a fast-paced life. Fast-paced. I don't know about you, but there were moments when I was exhausted, physically, emotionally, and mentally exhausted, just drained. Things like the oxymoron, a working vacation, it was pretty common. You know, we talked briefly about technology, and technology certainly has some good things, but it also allows you to be distracted all the time. And as a kid and a young adult, you know, I always enjoyed the greatest stories ever told, where you can really see God's hand in things that are just not possible. And we spent time going over some of these stories right before the COVID shutdown. And there's things like the Great Flood. Gosh, something like that, that's a God thing. It just doesn't happen. It's easy to see. The parting of the Red Sea. Wow. Those were the days. A chariot. Flaming horses. Are you kidding me? Those were some days. Daniel and the lion's den. David and Goliath. All these events as a child and a young adult, you're like, man, it's so easy to see God working behind the scenes. The Caesar census. How can I get Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem? Wow. Let's use Romans. Just to ensure the Christ child was born, just like Scripture said. God works in a lot of different ways. And, you know, it seemed like, gosh, all these things happened so long ago. We talked about unlikely people being used in incredible ways. What about an unlikely event? An unlikely situation that can reveal God's hand. I've kept these scriptural stories and accounts in the forefront of my mind right on the beginning of this epidemic. And during these busy times for many people and families, go, 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 COVID came. And to me, I'm going to share a couple observations. You ever need a wake-up call? You get caught in a routine and you're just going and going. You kind of need a nudge. Someone to grab you by the shoulder. Hey, where are you heading? That behavior's not right. Well, I'll tell you what. Through March and April, the world stopped that routine. It really did. And for many of us, unless we were deemed essential, we stopped right in our tracks. That busy, hectic, exhausting life suddenly stopped. And a chain of thoughts started to unfold over the course of the next 2 months for me. And my initial thought, of course, many of you might be in the same thing. When Michigan issued that strict stay-at-home policy, what just happened? This is unprecedented. So I started to think a little bit. I said, gosh, where in history might something parallel this? And I thought back two generations ago how things really changed. And I wasn't alive, but I think a few of you were just children. The bombing of Pearl Harbor, that was a pretty big change. We've been involved in a way, but America changed. What I thought would be the most defining moment of my life was the morning of September 11th. I stopped dead in my tracks, and life changed. And parts of the world changed too. But this year, this was more global. What came to my mind? Well, I remember those old stories. You know, the Lord used to really shake things up with the Red Sea, sending some things along Pharaoh's way. Those were old times. Well, I'll tell you what. When you look at Haggai chapter 2, 7, the Lord says, I will shake all nations. He's still active. He's still pretty active. You don't have to go back thousands of years ago. The world, this world with all this progress and technology, wow, we're all stopping. And I'm not saying that the Lord created this epidemic like the plagues and pestilences of the past. I don't know the answer to that, but what I do know is what how people either responded or reacted to this. There's a lot of reactions. The fear, anxiety, the confusion, the doubt. And then there's responses. I don't know about you, but that wake-up call, taking a look at that busy routine, I didn't mind a quick little stop, personally. And it was sudden. It was like a thief in the night, sudden. Wow, just like that, a change. So I, 2 months ago, I kind of took a look at the old adage, is the glass half full? Is it half empty? What do you see? Is there a silver lining? Well, in this cloud, where's God's hand? There's your silver lining. Wow. Fear, panic on March 23rd. You ever think you'd be really worried about toilet paper? Wow. I went into the IGA and they did have some hand sanitizer today. And it brought a whole new meaning to Mr. Bingham when he had economics, law of supply and demand. 8 ounces? That's like gold these days. Who would have thought that? Wow. Bread, flour, rice, hard to find initially. And worry. I mean, economies are shutting down. Businesses, things people have spent their whole life building up, all of a sudden being told you can't go in there. Even if you do go in there, maybe nobody's going to come. Homeschooling. Wow. Some people are working from home, and all of a sudden, they're trying to help a young kid hook up to a thing called Zoom. And you need a certain browser. Maybe you have slow internet. Wow, lots of hardships and challenges all coming in. And like I said, I'm going to ruffle some feathers because that's all fear. There's a lot of anxiety. You know, you feel overwhelmed. But you know what? In John 10:10, what did the Lord have in mind for us? I came that they have life and have it abundantly. Amen to that. This isn't what the Lord's got in mind. That's not how to live. We were created for companionship with God, a relationship. We were created to shine God's love to the world during dark times, just like your song, shine, let it shine. Isaiah 43:7, everyone is who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, who I'm formed and made, whom I created for my glory. What an opportunity. What an opportunity. I can't tell you how many people in the first week or two on Facebook, they're so uncertain about these things. And how are you doing during this shut-in? And how are you doing? I'm doing all right. One day at a time. I know what I know. And I'm not going to worry about things I don't know about. Well, how can you handle this? Well, Ed was down in Florida. So I called him up and said, it looks like we're going to be closing up church. And he said, you know, the church I'm going to down here posts sermons. And the pastor just delivered a great message on fear. And we put that one up, and we had some friends that were non-believers. All of a sudden, you take a look at the life you've been living, and you're not too sure about some things. And there's fear. Where do you go? Well, why don't you check this out? Doors can be opened during these times. And to me, during the last 2 months, I've never read so much scripture. And a lot of it, of course, is working with Glenn, looking for a scripture, not just a random scripture, but kind of a scripture for the moment. And they don't always just pop up. Sometimes you read 10, 15, sometimes more in a day. I've been doing a lot of reading. And I got to thank the world stopping and creating that opportunity and seizing on it. The Bible. Getting back to the basics, as a coach would say. You know, a lot of you have heard acronyms for the Bible. And I really think this acronym that I want to refer to a couple times this morning is just, how do you go on? The best living instruction book for living every day. That's how we go on. It's real easy when things are going pretty smooth, when the stock market's going well. It's real easy a lot of the times to get caught up in a routine and things like that. I don't know about you, but I really appreciated that wake-up call. I did. It doesn't mean I'm going to go jump in a pool with a bunch of strangers and hug them or something along those lines. That's not what I'm saying. It's a situation, and there's been situations for a long time in history, and this one grabbed a lot of people's attention. It's what you do with it. So where does confusion come from? It's not from God. And I think I'm preaching to the choir here today. 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion. A lot of people getting caught up, worried. You know what God is the author of? Peace. If you just can't stand stuff, you want to get around stuff that brings peace. Peace, as in all churches of the saints. You know, where did confusion come from? I'm not a scholar, so I might be wrong. But I went pretty early in the Bible, the third chapter of Genesis. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. We all know who that serpent is. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Confusion. It's been around since the beginning of time as we know it. It's still here, and it's still coming from the same origin. Don't be confused. Be informed. Be informed. Stay focused on the best living instruction book for living every day. It doesn't matter, really, what these issues, problems, pandemic is. The answer is still the same. Stay steadfast in the Word, not the news. Be informed. Headlines can distract. Be balanced. What's the truth? I believe there is a highly contagious virus that has rapidly spread across the world. that can be fatal with no known cure at the moment. I don't think it's the first one ever. Is there a, I'm not downplaying it either. There's a virus. There's a virus. What's the silver lining behind this? Believers and non-believers. You know, people want some comfort. They want a refuge. Refuge. People want to feel safe. Also, the opportunity. I think there's a growing hunger amongst the unbelievers. There's a need. We want to feel safe. We want some answers. People don't like to feel uncertain. Has there been a greater opportunity for each and every one of us to witness this to others and apply what we believe than right now? Apply in our actions, conversations? When fear knocks on the door, this is how you answer. Don't get caught up in fear. Psalms 18:2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. That's been a good place to be, a real good place. See, God is bigger than COVID-19. Isaiah 45:5-7, I am the Lord, and there is no other besides me. There is no God. I equip you, though you do not know me, that people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. Is God bigger than cancer? Yeah. Bigger than divorce? Yes. Bigger than rain, bigger than wind, hurricanes? Yes, yes, yes. Can God handle that problem at work? Yeah. Scheduling issues, childcare dilemma? Yes, yes. There's a lot of worry and anxiety. There's a lot of scripture for worry and anxiety. You know what? I understand. Paychecks. Are my kids safe? Will the supply chains be broken? Riots, armed protests, restrictions, all present-day thoughts. Things to consider, things to be aware of. Don't get caught up in fret. Best living instruction book for living every day. God created the Garden of Eden. It didn't last long. We're not living in a Garden of Eden, perfect, problemless. Sin is here. It is rampant. I contribute. You contribute. That's why Jesus Christ came to save us from ourselves, from our imperfections, our sin. Out of John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. truer words have never been said. You will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. You all know this. God is bigger than any problems. There will be trouble. I'll tell you what. I need a little trouble sometimes. You know what I'm saying? I can't do this on my own. I love just, you know, not really putting on a helmet and shoulder pads. I never played football, but I'll just use that little analogy to kind of feel tough. I like to plow through things myself from time to time. There's some things I can't plow through myself by myself. That's why we have a Lord that is above and beyond any of these problems, above and beyond anything we have ever seen or ever will see. We're not designed to go alone and command our own lives. I'm not strong enough, I'm imperfect, and I need help. Humility. I can't do this. It's not a bad thing. It's hard sometimes to have it. I'd rather be humble than be made humble. If you got to make a choice. 1 Peter chapter 5, 6 through 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. This is why we have a God, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares about you. Isn't it amazing how something published and written so long ago is so essential and applicable every day? Every day. Let it go. You know, I can't control cancer, weather, pandemics, but I can control my decision to be humble, my decision to turn my life over to Jesus Christ, and my decision to live every day in faith that God is in control. That's what I can decide. And you know what? You can ask guys one day, like Moses or Jonah, when you trust in the Lord, He's not going to lead you around difficulties. You better buckle up. He's going to lead you through obstacles, situations. That's what reveals God's hand in all of this, not our hand. Let it go does not mean be reckless. Let's get some wisdom and go to Proverbs 14:16. The wise are cautious and avoid danger. Fools plunge ahead with reckless confidence. Knowledge, precautions. What do we know? That's good. I'm not here to test God. I know Gideon did. Worked out probably for Gideon a lot better than it would for most. Proverbs 14:16, the wise are cautious and avoid danger. Fools plunge ahead with reckless confidence. If you want to plunge, plunge into this. This is a good area to plunge into. You know, the hardest part over the last 2 months for me personally, and perhaps for some of you, has been, especially in the beginning, the isolation. You know, sometimes, I was talking to Fred this morning, you don't know what you have until it's not there. You know, a wake-up call. That's what I got. See, we at Stutz are a body of believers, like many other congregations. And being physically separated from my brothers and sisters in Christ has been trying, and it's been difficult to say the least. Technology with the sermons and emails, prayer requests and praises have helped. But what was really demonstrated to me comes right out of 1 Corinthians 12, 25 through 27. And it reads, "In that way, the parts of the body will not take sides. All of them will take care of one another. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part shares in its joy. You are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. It may have been hard, but we were not alone. With Christ as the head of this body, we are not alone. We are one. I felt like I've been missing a piece of me for a couple months. Today feels like a new beginning, coming together once again as one to worship the one." You know, the silver lining. These scriptures, I think we've all heard before. We probably all understood before. But now, can we really relate personally on this level? Mark Twain said, "Experience is the best teacher." When you experience what we've been experiencing for 2 months, a lot of these scriptures, wow, they're written just for today. They're written just for this moment. They're written just for me. It's a personal relationship. It's amazing. It's been a time for me, this new normal. The new normal is a time to rebalance, reprioritize, and refocus, and reevaluate. Things have stopped long enough for me to stop running at full speed, stopped long enough to remember life will always have conflicts, adversity, problems, and that's okay because God is faithful. Faithful through every problem man has ever seen. Today is no different. It is just different to us. Stick to God's game plan. James chapter 1, 2 through 5. Isn't this something? We can't do this on our own. I can just see Christ smiling right now as we realize, gosh, I'm not strong enough to do this. I'm reaching out for some help. Out of James chapter 1, 2 through 5. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces Perseverance. I've been getting some perseverance over the last couple months. Thank you, Lord. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. It's how you look at that glass of water. Is it half empty? Is it half full? Consider it pure joy to face trials. Respond with the best living instruction book for living every day. I've liked my new normal. And perhaps you already had a normal like I'm living right now. That's wonderful. The question is, what's your new normal? I'm going to close in prayer. Dennis, do we have a closing song? After the closing song, I'd like to take a few minutes and tell you a little bit about what has been happening at Stutz in the last couple months that I've shared in an email this past week. So as the music teams, maybe you want to wait till I'm done because I don't have my mask on. We don't need to be reckless. Heavenly Father, I don't think this is scripture. It's a cliche, but the Lord works in mysterious ways. And I cannot thank you enough for my new normal, Lord. There's nothing like being in your refuge, having peace. And Lord, let us each take today and every day to really get into your word. And through our actions, through our behaviors, our conversations, let's give the glory to you, Lord. Let us shine strength, peace, joy, and love. I lift all this up to you, Lord, and we just pray for safety as we move forward. We pray for health, and we pray for comfort. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Hannah. We do pray for Hannah, and pray for your protection and for your wisdom, and I know it's a really, really tough assignment there, and I just ask you to guide and protect and just give your wisdom there and restraint and help to calm the persons that are all involved and all being so upset, and help the police force and the rest of the National Guard too to quell this unrest. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Stand up, guys. If you can.
A pilgrim was I and a wandering. In the cold night of sin I did roam. And Jesus the kind shepherd found me. And now I am on my way home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He restoreth my soul when I'm weary. He giveth me strength day by day. He leads me beside the still waters and guards me each step of the way. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When I walk through the dark, lonesome valley, my Savior has walked with me there. And safe he is guided and will lead me to the mansions he's gone to prepare. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will feast at the table set for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
I'm back. You gonna put this on? Yeah. Okay. Hey, thank you very much. Hey, for quite some time, probably the last year, the elders, we met with Ed, and you know, our main focus in the last year has really been at working on healing and uniting this body and really preparing it in a way so you know, we are ready when God brings someone to us. And we never really knew who he may bring, or we still probably don't. But this is what has happened in the last couple months, and I'd like to share it with you. I believe it was in February I received a text late one evening from somebody I haven't talked with probably since the 80s. And this person is from Harbor Springs and has a friend who knows another friend who's in seminary school in California. And I said, well, that's nice. And this person said, you know, my friend never stops talking about this person and how excited they are going to become a pastor. And I just know you've been going for about a year without a pastor. And I said, that's kind of true. Here's his contact information. Why don't you call him? So, you know, I always follow up on things. So I thought it was a little unusual. We don't have anything posted for a vacancy or anything like that. And this seminary student's been sending resumes out across the world. We never received one. So I made a phone call, and I think the first phone call was about 2 hours, and I just said, hey, let me tell you what we've been through the last 5.5, 6 years. And his response about 50 minutes later was, wow, you still have people that committed coming to church? Their faith is strong. So we started talking and building a relationship, and after a few phone calls, I said, you know what, I'm going to touch base with the boards here and let them know what we have. So right before the mandated stay-at-home pandemic, the ministry board and the elder board socially distanced during a speakerphone conversation. And we met a young man. He's 38 years old. His name's Brian. And for about 2 hours, I would say, we got to know him. Right off the bat, he laid out his testimony, and he was a sinner. Yeah, yeah. And you know what? So am I. But I think what really moved all of us was he didn't know anybody other than me, and I had heard some of it, but not that depth. And he laid out his testimony, and this is who I am, and I can't be the commander of my ship anymore. I turned over the steering wheel and the keel to the Lord, and this is where I'm going. And I would say the people from the board all of a sudden started asking some pretty difficult questions just to see where he stood. And he did not compromise at all, did not take any answers that were going to be anything but scripture-based. And we got pretty interested. So I said, why don't you send us your resume? Why don't you send us your reference? So during this shutdown, we've been moving, and we've made phone calls and started collecting all sorts of information. And the interesting thing was this gentleman had an opportunity, still does, to go to Tijuana, where there's a church down there where he's going to go. But due to the pandemic, that's been stopped. Everything's been really stopped, and which has been great for us to get to know him. And Carrie and I've had maybe 5 or 6 Zoom sessions with Brian and his wife, Robin, getting to know them, their faith, their story. And his wife's actually from Indian River. And it was one of her friends that talked about Brian and herself with the gal who is from Harbor Springs. So that's how the connection came. And once we started talking about Stutzmanville and, hey, what kind of outreaches do you guys do? So, of course, I talk about the journey, and Robin's like, it seems familiar. So Robin called her mom up, and her mom's like, yeah, I took you through the journey when you were 9 years old there. And that was really interesting. And so we've been collecting information, and we're at the point now where Friday night Scott Ward, Chip, and myself met with Brian online. Brian's got several ministries, and one of them sort of like Scott Ward's Thursday night men's group, but this is a recovery group, and there was at least one gal in it. Yeah. And it was only 40 minutes because that's what a free account is, and we were invited to kind of sit in and see how Brian's working in the lives of people who are struggling, who have really gone off and are recovering. He's also involved in Young Life, and right now it's all Zoom type stuff. And before the COVID breakdown, he was involved in prison ministry, and he's not allowed in right now, and he doesn't think until January 1st. So we did have him as a guest speaker, probably right around Easter time there, where he gave a message in our series, Walking in Faith, Not by Sight. I did ask him, the big thing is we would like at the ministry board, Ed said, hey, can we send a couple people to California and really get a good idea who this guy is, his circle of people? And Brian's real receptive, but California's tightened down a little bit more than Michigan right now. So due to that situation, that's why we're doing some Zooms with his ministries the best we can. We've also talked as both boards on bringing Brian and Robin here for maybe 10 days where we would get 2 sermons. And you know, with the weather outside, the picnic tables, what can we do? Can we bring him here? Can we get to know him? Can he get to know us? It's got to work both ways. He's already gone through the bylaws. I try to walk through certain things. Hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And the sermon he gave that we viewed, that was the first sermon he's ever given. He's been a seminary student. He was in the Navy for I'm not sure how many years and came out of the Navy, and it's a new life for him, a new life. And it's not like we're trying to find somebody from out of Harbor Springs. Our whole concept was, let's see who comes to us and how. We don't know where it's going to go, but that's where it's going right now. We're kind of learning a lot. Carrie one day came in here with her phone and gave them a tour of the church, the grounds, the buildings, and he was thinking, he was just blown away at the size and what's here. He loves some of the signage we have. You're entering the mission field. He was really excited on what he saw. I had no idea. I was expecting a little country church. Those are our roots. We sprouted. He did come to Northern Michigan once. Robin took him on 119, and they had lunch in Cross Village. So that was, he's kind of got a little idea, and I was like, look, you're going from perfect weather, 70 degrees every single day, and here it is, May 9th, and it's snowing. I talked to him the next week, it's 85 there. And he's not from California. He's bounced around a little bit, but spent a lot of time in Colorado, loves nature, hiking, that sort of thing. And Robin, of course, is from Indian River. She went to the Burt Lake School, is still in contact with the Chatfields there. I guess either Lee or her brother were in the same class or close by. It was a small world. Carrie became friends with her on Facebook, and right off the bat, they had one friend in common. I was like, what? Isn't that interesting? I don't know what it means, but it's interesting. Yeah, so it's just been wonderful having a time building a relationship, and right off the bat, and we talk about all the time, we both understand that God has a plan for Stutz. God has a plan for Brian and Robin. We don't know if we have the same plan. He knows that, but one thing I do know is Carrie and I have two very close friends out in California right now. They're really genuine, wonderful people. They are believers. Brian's been putting a lot on Facebook. A few people in here have friended him, and he does little talks all the time, scripture-based, and he's had a few people call him on the boards, and the one thing he said was, you know, each person I talk to at Stutz, I'm so impressed at how grounded they are. It's very encouraging to me. So Ed has reached out. Chip's reached out a few times. Jerry Gage, I know you have. Carrie and myself there. And I was like, well, Brian, I really, now that we're opening the doors, this is something I really want. This is a face-to-face delivery to our body. I want to give them some information on you. We can send some information out on email, Facebook stuff for people in the body who might want to connect with you and get to know you. And he's like, I've got time. even though he's a seminary student, he's finishing things up. It can be finished up anywhere because it's all online. And one thing that has really been appealing is, you know, Ed, when he sat down with us about a year ago, and he gave a sermon and on something that's really been on his heart about his role years ago after he retired, I wish I would have been involved. And Ed said something that really struck me when we sat down. I'll never forget it. He just said, you know, a shepherd can recognize a shepherd. And I said, well, we need you. We need you fully invested. And he said, you know, I had Menno, but it wasn't exactly the mentor-mentee that I wish I had. And I really hope whoever comes in, there's going to be some chemistry and a relationship. And Brian seems pretty excited about having support. He likes the idea, the concept of an elder board, and the pastor sits with them, and we work on things together, and we support each other. And I don't know about you, but I really like the idea of somebody with 40 years of preaching experience who's building skills probably resemble mine, which are not good, but when it counts with rafters, he really nailed it. And having Ed as a potential mentor to me sounds very exciting. And I guess we're getting to the point now where I wanted to tell you, hey, this has been happening. It's been happening slowly. It's been happening prayerfully. And quite frankly, I've been pretty excited about it. And we're looking forward to, gosh, when can we start doing some face-to-face things? Because I know they would love to come up. And we've got a couple people who would like to go in their circle as well. So I don't know if you have any questions, but that's what's been going on. Donna? Yes, is it 8 years? They've been married 6 years. Bring her in.
Yeah, wanting and praying for their own children, but not been blessed at this time. So they love children. Robin's excited to get involved with all ages, right on up to the wisdom shared from the elderly or the 39-year-old plus. Ladies in the congregation, and any questions that we ask either of them, there was no ham-hawing around. I'd ham-haw around myself. So
really?
Answered them relatively quickly, to the point, and always scripturally based. It was really, and some of the questions when we were all there, they were real diverse, and they had answers clearly for any of the questions that we asked. So.
Donna?
So how does this, we're thinking of Brian as a pastor. And
as a candidate?
And we're thinking of Jeff as a youth pastor, or is that not happening?
I've really... During this COVID time, things have been running slowly. There's been all sorts of discussion on who we have and how we're going to plug them in. And Jeffrey has certainly, I've talked with him, and he feels like he's got a calling for the youth. I'm not 100% sure if he ended up going on his honeymoon or not. But Jeffrey's got a message coming up when he comes back. I had a big talk with Jeffrey, and hey, where are you in life? And, you know, he told me where his heart is, where he wants to plug in, where he feels God wants to use Jeffrey at this season in his life. So ideally, it would be great to take a look as things are starting to come together. I'd love to see a vibrant youth program and what it looks like and how we get there. I think that's what the boards and things need to start drafting.
And without us stating any interest in the youth from Children's Church on, Brian and Robin are plugged into that and continuing that a couple times a week through Zoom, because we can't meet face to face with young lives.
So yes, we're in a position.
Saying.
We postponed the blessing of the bikes.
Blessing of the bikes, and we hope that that can happen later on in the year, and we'll just play any fellowship things as we see fit. Right now, it's important to feed the soul, and that's what we're going with. And we'll ease into it as we see fit and the information we get in. So.
Good questions. Well, if there's no further questions, we'll keep you updated, but let's plan on coming next Sunday, and let's see if we can get a few more of these seats filled. We got that stage still. Yeah.
Another note, Roberta and Todd, through their ministry, their farm is also a ministry. They provided lettuce out there. She's out there now.
Or if you know somebody that hasn't been able to get out too much, elderly person, or grab a couple bags for them and give it to them.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a blessed week.